love and hope. That's what Good Friday is all about. This is the day where death becomes victory. That's what Friday is all about. It's the beauty of Good Friday where God takes a horrifying day and turns it into great victory. It's the day that reminds us that God could take something out of the messes of our lives and turn it into something beautiful. If you have your Bible and the text, didn't come up. Turn to the Gospel of John. If you have a Bible or a device, if you follow us on YouVersion Bible app, or the notes for this morning are there under the event. Just going to read a short part of the story of the crucifixion. Begins in verse 17. It says, carrying his own cross, that's Jesus, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Notice, I jumped a few words. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write, King of the Jews. But what it really means is, but instead write that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Jump down to verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is Good Friday. For many people, Good Friday is a day of great sorrow and sadness. Many times we come to Good Friday, and even as a community, you know, we want to bow our heads. We want to remember the great sorrow that Good Friday was. And while that is part of it, that is not the whole story. See, because there's incredible tension on Good Friday. We look at the cross, it's the symbol of Roman brutality. Nobody could cause death so painfully as the Romans could with the cross. We look at the cross today, and if you turn and you look there, it's all beautiful. You know, it's lit up, it's got some decoration on it, it's smooth. It looks pretty. We hang crosses from our necklaces, some people do. But there was nothing pretty about a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. It was a sign of great suffering and excruciating pain. It was the symbol of death. And yet, today, we look at the cross and we call it beautiful, wonderful, glorious. We call this Good Friday. It's the day the Savior died. What could be so good about it? In fact, even the Apostle Paul had something to say about the cross. In Galatians 6:14, he says this, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. May I never boast except in the cross. You know, this word there, boast, if you break it down in its original Greek to what it really means, boast here means hold your head high. May I never hold my head high except for the cross. And so Paul would say to us today, hold your head high and look at the cross. Hold your head high. Don't bow, but hold your head high and look at the cross. It was the symbol. It was the instrument that the Romans used to instill fear into its citizens. The cross was the representation of extreme suffering and excruciating pain. It was the symbol of capital punishment. It was the symbol of death. And they used the cross to terrify the subjects who lived under their reign. And Paul says to us, boast only in the cross. Hold your head high and look at the cross. This is the cross that Jesus willingly gave himself to. He willingly sacrificed himself. This cross is the culmination of God's plan to save the world. This cross is the main reason for which Jesus was born. The cross speaks to us of suffering and pain. And yet, this Roman symbol of death and destruction is the exact symbol that God holds to us today, but it no longer represents death and destruction. Instead, God has used it and turned it around to represent life and restoration. So this morning, when you look upon the cross, do that again. This morning, when you look upon the cross, I don't want you to see what the Romans saw. I want you to see what God sees. This morning, when you look at the cross, I don't want you to see death and suffering and pain. This morning, when you look at the cross, I want you to see life and victory and forgiveness. Because that's what God sees. Paul says, I will boast in the cross. Hold your head high and look upon the cross. But that's not the only thing we're told to look at. John the Baptist one day was down by the Jordan River. And he said these words in John 1:29. As Jesus was coming towards him, John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This verse is a great exclamation of who Jesus is. Jesus first appears on the scene before his many miracles, but before his great public ministry, before the great teachings, before the Sermon on the Mount, before anything that he ever spoke or preached or parabolized. Before any of that, John the Baptist knew. He said, look, the Lamb of God. Hold your head high and look upon the Lamb. John the Baptist's audience that day at the Jordan River totally understood what a sacrificial lamb was. They were a lot closer to it in their day than we are. We read about it in the Old Testament. We hear stories in church, or if you grew up in Sunday school, or if you read any magazines that teach on it, you'll understand. You see, here comes Jesus walking to the Jordan, and John says, the Lamb of God. Look, behold, hold your head high. Here's the Lamb of God. Anybody know where Jesus was born other than a stable? what city? Bethlehem. Do you know what else was raised in Bethlehem? The sheep. Do you know what kind of sheep? Sacrificial sheep. It is believed, you know the Christmas story, and there were shepherds out in the field at night? Did it ever cross your mind why were the sheep out at night? Normally sheep go in at night. It's not a mistake. You see, sacrificial lambs and sheep were not allowed to ever be brought inside. They had to always be outside. So their shepherds were always with them. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, where the sacrificial lamb are born and raised. And John says, behold the lamb. See, John the Baptist's audience understood that. They didn't need to explain it. See, the people who lived in Jesus' day understood crucifixion. Nobody had to explain it to them. But we live far removed from that time, and we need to remind ourselves what everything really means. You see, sacrificial lambs were an integral part of the Old Testament system of forgiveness. And the sacrificial lambs were sacrificed on Friday for the Sabbath. They're raised in Bethlehem and sacrificed on Friday. And the sacrificial lambs had to be 1 year old, so they had to spend a year out with the shepherds. And then the shepherds would lead them to Jerusalem. They'd lead them to Jerusalem, and the sacrificial lambs had to be spotless, had to be without blemish, no broken bones, no damage, no big bruising that anybody could see. They had to be perfect and spotless. And the priest would take the lamb and to not be gory, just spill the blood. And history says to us, when the blood was spilled, and the priest had done whatever he had to do in his ceremony with the blood and to offer it as forgiveness of sin, he would go before the people and say, it is finished. This is the picture. And so John the Baptist, to an audience that used to see this regularly, who grew up knowing about this, just like we grow up knowing what a hockey game is. If we were writing our history, we'd say, I went to the hockey game. You wouldn't spend 14 pages describing what hockey is. Because we live in that era. And so John the Baptist proclaims that day at the Jordan River, behold, hold your head high. Here comes the Lamb. And the people understood. Hebrews 9:22. Reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And John the Baptist prepares the future reality that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He comes to take away the sin of the world. He is the perfect, unblemished sacrifice. He comes as the final Passover lamb, a sacrifice that is made once and for all time. No longer week after week after week does a lamb need to be sacrificed, but once and for all time. Hold your head high. Hold your head high and look upon the Lamb, the one who went to the cross. Look at the Lamb. He's the one who ate with the sinners. He welcomed the outsiders. He encouraged the little children to come onto me. He never forced himself upon anyone, but he welcomed everyone. Hold your head high and look at the Lamb of God. When he walks on the water, he calms the storm. He casts out the demons. He raises the dead and he feeds the hungry. Hold your head high as the blind see, as the lame walk, as the deaf hear, as diseases are healed, as those who are held captive in their sin are released to freedom. Hold your head high. Hold your head high. Look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John himself wasn't alone. There's a very peculiar person in a very unique way in the story of Jesus' death who gives us some unique words. John 19:5 says this, "Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate," who? Pilate, the Roman leader, Pilate dares to say, "Look, here is the man. Hold your head high. Here is the man." Who is this man? Why would Pilate say, "Look, here is the man"? Here's a man who's been betrayed by his ally. He's been abandoned by his followers. He's been denied by his closest friends. And he stands alone before the Roman authorities. For you need to understand that this is no ordinary man. This is the Son of God. And see what he endures for you. And from that courtyard, he is taken away and he is whipped. He's not just whipped, he's whipped. Many of you probably know that they use what we believe to be a cat of nine tails, a whip with nine long branches on it. At the end of every branch was either a jagged stone or a piece of glass or a piece of metal. Something sharp at the end of each of those nine whips. And as they whipped him, it just didn't bruise him. But you see, those jagged pieces would pull flesh out. Every time a whip hit, it would pull flesh. Scholars would tell us that basically there was no flesh left on his back and on his side rib cages. But pulled it all out. Pulled out even some muscle and tissue. Bare, raw nerves. He endured a beating for you, so you didn't have to. And then we read that verse, and they put a crown of thorns and the Roman soldiers in mockery. Said, "You're a king, then we'll give you a crown." So they built a crown of thorns, and they probably beat it into his head, into his skull. He did that so you didn't have to. And they mocked him. You know, the Bible tells us they blindfolded him and they pulled his beard, they spit on him and they punched him, they slapped him and they said, "Guess who?" They mocked him so that you didn't have to be mocked. And Pilate brings him before the crowd of people gathered that day and he says to them, "Look, here is the man." In fact, Pilate even said he's not guilty of anything. He's done nothing wrong. This man, I find no guilt in him. Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the crowd wanted Jesus' blood. And they stood there in the courtyards and they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." The chief priests and the Jewish leaders of the law came and pleaded with Pilate and said, "You have to sentence him to death because he claims to be the Son of God." I hold out to you this morning, he didn't just claim to be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. But at the end, Pilate caved to the crowd, although he washed his hands of it. He sentenced Jesus to be crucified, sentenced to death. Then you know the story that Jesus was forced to carry his cross. And history tells us it wasn't the whole cross as we like to depict in our pictures. It was really that cross beam, the part where his hands would be nailed. You know, that beam alone weighed about 100 pounds, they estimate. On a bare back with no flesh. That's why the Bible says he was not able to carry it. The soldiers picked a guy out of the crowd and said, here, carry it. You see, Jesus carried the cross and Simeon carried the cross. You don't have to carry that cross. And they paraded Jesus through the city of Jerusalem out to the outskirts. That wasn't just done for Jesus. It was done for all the criminals of that day. It was done to humiliate them. It's believed that they may have paraded them naked through the city. Jerusalem, it was Passover time, and they believed that the city had swelled to about four times its normal population. In the height of the tourists in Jerusalem, they parade Jesus through the streets to humiliate him. See, the Romans had it down to a science. This thing called torture, death, crucifixion. And they paraded the criminals through the streets to humiliate and embarrass them, but also to say to the citizens, if you don't listen to us, this is what happens to you. And they paraded Jesus through the streets to humiliate him. Bible says he was beaten and battered so much that he was hardly recognizable. He did that for you. When Jesus reached the place of crucifixion, which we read in our opening scripture in Aramaic, is called Golgotha. They placed him on the cross. And unlike other criminals, they nailed his wrists to that crossbeam. And they yanked him up. They nailed his feet to the cross. And you see, crucifixion wasn't pretty. It was painful. It was torturous. It was laborious. It could last for hours. Slowly, slowly, minute by minute, you'd die more and more. And finally, as Jesus hung on the cross, the time had come. With one last breath, he cried out, "It is finished." And he breathed his last. It's almost impossible not to bow your head. It's almost impossible not to take a moment of sorrow and reverence. And you wouldn't be wrong for doing so, but today Paul says to us, I must boast in the cross. I must hold my head up high and look upon the cross on which the Savior of the world gave himself. Today, I am reminded that I am to look upon the man who was no ordinary man. He is and was the Son of God. I am to look upon the Lamb who gave his life and shed his blood for our sins. I am to look upon the cross, which Jesus said, Father, if you want me to, I will. I'll go. Hold your head high for the Lamb of God. Because Jesus loved you enough to die for you. I have news for you. It might be a little bit of an awakening moment for you this morning, but you're not good enough on your own. If I just burst your bubble, I'm sorry. But the reality of the Bible reminds us and teaches us that on our own, we're not good enough. You could never be good enough. You can't do enough good things. You can't say enough good things. You can't give enough money. You can't give enough service. On your own, you are not good enough to stand before God. But the Lamb of God shed his blood on the cross so that when we sang it today, did you catch it in that song this morning? He looks upon his son and pardons me. I am pardoned because Jesus is the Lamb. I am forgiven because Jesus is the Lamb. I could stand before God one day because Jesus is the Lamb. Because I'm not good enough on my own. And you're not good enough on your own. See, without the Lamb, we would be destined to hell. Without the Lamb, we would be destined to death. Without the Lamb, we would be destined to hopelessness. Without the Lamb, we would have nothing to live for. But because of the Lamb, because of the blood that was shed, you are forgiven. You are set free. You are promised eternal life. Because of the Lamb, hold your head high and look upon the Lamb. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:18, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." Hold your head high and look at the Lamb of God. Hold your head high and look upon the cross. The instrument of death becomes the basis of victory for our lives. Hold your head high this morning as God declares you forgiven. Hold your head high as he bears every sorrow, every grief, and every pain. Hold your head high as he removes your guilt and your shame and your penalty. Hold your head high for the cross this morning. See, this cross is the crossroads of your life. This cross turns your defeat into victory. This cross makes your impossible possible. So it's not with sadness and sorrow that we come and we commemorate Good Friday. It's with reverence and gratitude that we look upon the cross, which the Lamb of God sacrificed himself for us, for me, and for you. Look upon the cross. Have you looked upon Jesus? Ask the worship team to come back. Have you looked upon Jesus? Have you looked upon the man who was no ordinary man? Have you looked upon Jesus, who is the Lamb of God? Have you looked upon Jesus, who sacrificed himself on the cross for you? Have you looked upon Jesus because he died for you? Would you just close your eyes in a moment of reverence this morning? Just ask that you would allow people some opportunity this morning. Just listen as I bring this to a close. He died for you. He died so your sins could be forgiven. He died to turn your life away from death and towards life. He died to give you freedom, love, and hope. He died for you because he loves you. And this morning you need to come alive to the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. Jesus died so you could have life. Jesus shed his blood so you could be forgiven. All you have to do is believe who Jesus is. That's all you have to do this morning. You have to believe who Jesus is. You have to realize what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago on a cross. You have to accept the forgiveness that he offers you. And you have to live your life for him. from now on. Just as you bow your heads this morning, because I want to give you some privacy. Even though there's no biblical reason for it, but we're just comfortable in our society with a bit of privacy. So I ask you this morning, who here would say, Pastor Dan, I need to know this Jesus. I need to believe him. I need to accept what he has done. I need to live the rest of my life because of what he did for me. See, he died for you. He died in your place. He died so you don't have to die that way. He died so that you could live in eternity in heaven and not spend eternity in hell. How many would say this morning, Pastor Dan, I've been skirting about the issue. I've not been taking it seriously. I've not really given much thought to Jesus before. I've not given much thought to this whole Easter thing. But Pastor, this morning I understand that he was no ordinary man. Pastor, this morning I understand he is the Lamb of God. Pastor, this morning I understand he went to the cross because he loved me. I want to live my life for him. If that's you this morning, I just want you to hold your hand up and look at me so I could see you. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to understand that Jesus loves you and cares for you. Who this morning is here would say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Thank you. You can put that hand down. Are there others this morning who say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Just lift your hand and look at me. I'm going to ask one last time because I just want to give you an opportunity, but I don't want to drag it on and force you. Anybody else would say, Pastor, that's me. I need to accept Jesus into my life and live for him. You can put your hand down. I see it. Church, I'm going to ask us to pray together. And those of you who raised your hands this morning, I want you to pray this prayer as I lead it. I'll lead it in segments and then repeat it. I don't want you to just repeat an empty prayer, but listen to what I'm saying to you. And then as you repeat it, Bible says if you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth. So that's what we're going to do. And so we're going to, a simple prayer, just saying that's going to say, Jesus, I accept you in my life and I want your forgiveness. Church, let's all pray together and help those folks out this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for me. I realize today that I'm not good enough. And I need your forgiveness. So Jesus, come. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my selfishness. Forgive me of my wrong. And wash me clean. Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I invite you into my heart. I want to live for you the rest of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for being the Lamb. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.